Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Show. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me as... I'm on my lonesome. No, I'm not. He's only on Zoom. Hello.
Hello. Hello, mate. How's it going?
All right. I mean, this is a bizarre set of circumstances that have, for multiple reasons. You're working, so you've got to jet set off to do some proper work.
Yeah, I've got to get to Belgium in a couple of hours, so I'm off to Belgium.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to be trying to look at my Telegram messages and work out what's going wrong, because you've been messaging for 2 days about this show, and I've had no notifications. So the idea was that you was obviously going to be here and then shoot off to Belgium afterwards, but no.
I genuinely thought you might be dead. I was genuinely getting a bit worried. I was like, I've messaged Stu like last couple of days. He's not responded to me once. I've sent him a few Telegram messages, like nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get a phone call. Don't. Stu's just, you know, he's gone crazy at the club or something. He started a mass brawl. It didn't end well for him.
He watched Max Holloway at UFC 300 again, got pins and needles in his left arm and just killed over with a heart attack. Well, look, before we get on to today's show, I want to thank our sponsor, Ferocious Fightwear, which you can see some of their garms in front of us here on the studio table. They do rash guards, shorts, wraps, gum shields, all sorts of great stuff. And head over to ferociousfightwear.com and check out their stuff. And drop them a message on socials. Let them know that you've given them a follow and that you listen to the podcast. Let them know that this little sponsorship deal's working out. And because he's a top lad. He's the head honcho over there. And I'm talking about it like it's a huge organization. It's not. It's a one-man band, and he's set it up and he's growing it, and he's come from the same sort of neck of the woods as where the studio is. So, you know, we're just working together to grow the podcast and to grow Ferocious Fightwear as well. So go give him a follow on the socials and check out the store. Blake, we're talking UFC 301 today.
Yes, we are. I mean, before we get into that, I've just realised I didn't press record on my GarageBand stuff. So I'm doing that now. So apologies to the editor who's going to have to get this and work out what the hell is going on with all of this stuff.
I think we're fine. We've got it in my end. We've got it in my end.
But I did want to shout out PH, who gave us a very... Thank you very much to PH, who... bought us a coffee, as it's helping us kind of keep this show going, really. So if you are enjoying the show, if you're enjoying the content that we're putting out, obviously we will be back in the studio as soon as we can, then please hit us up, go into the show notes and whatever, and click the link to buy us a coffee and give us a little tip there so that we can keep putting this show together.
Absolutely.
So thank you to PH for that. 301.
Right.
301.
Look, 301. Before we get into it.
Go on.
298, 299, 300, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was just relentless with just insane cards, right? For me, this ain't delivering.
Yeah, I think that was exactly the very first question I had for you, actually, is like, are we a little bit underwhelmed? Is this like a hangover? We've had three unbelievable pay-per-view cards kind of back-to-back. Obviously, there's been fight nights in between, some of which have been a bit lackluster, some of which have been all right. But three pay-per-view cards have been absolutely phenomenal. And then we're on to 301, which, don't get me wrong, there's some good little fights on there. You know, we've got the return of Jack Shaw after his injury. Great for British MMA fans. Paul Craig is on the card. You know, the main event is actually quite interesting to see how good Steve Ercik is. We're going to get into all this. The return of the King of Rio, Jose Aldo. I mean, there's stuff there, but it's pales in comparison. Obviously to 300, it's maybe unfair to compare anything to 300. It's arguably the greatest fight card of all time. But 299 was phenomenal. 298 was phenomenal. Remember that Dustin Poirier, Benoit Saint-Denis fight? And, you know, we've had some really, really cracking cards over the last, you know, few months since that. That 297 wasn't amazing. The one in, was it Toronto, the Strickland Duplessis card? That was a bit meh. It was okay.
That's what Arnold was on, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then we've had three amazing back-to-back cards. And, yeah, it does feel slightly underwhelming. And it's what we were talking about previously, where we were saying this card maybe could do with
Pereira.
Like Pereira or someone like that. And that was the original plan. The plan was for Pereira to headline this card, for Pantoja to be the co-main, but then things didn't work out the way they wanted to at 300. And therefore, things just messed up slightly. But we still got an incredible 300. I don't think anyone would want to take that back. That incredible moment with Pereira stopping Herb Dean from stepping in and then just smashing Jamahal Hill with one shot.
Oh, I forgot incredible about that. Stuff. Sorry, I was still thinking about Max Holloway. I forgot that happened.
It was phenomenal, wasn't it? What a great card 300 was. But I think we are now having to go, okay, this is the price we pay. When you get a card like 300, which is stacked top to bottom, you've got two ex-champions in the opening fight on the prelims. Yeah. These kind of fights could have been on 301 to boost that a little bit. Didn't happen. So I think we have to just kind of, you know, don't be too upset about it. It is what it is. There's still some fun fights on the card, which we will get into. But yeah, I don't think you can blame people too much for feeling a little bit like it's like a bit of a hangover after 300. And now we've got 301 and maybe the pay-per-view buys in America probably won't be what the UFC are used to.
I don't think so. Well, look, top of the tree. Obviously, there is a belt on the line here. Alexandre Pantoja is fighting Steve Carell. Obviously, I had some images ready to go in here of Michael Scott. But obviously, we've now got your pretty face on the big telly.
Swap it out. Get rid of my face. Put up Steve Carell.
Right. Chris, producer, drop a little picture of the artwork in there, mate. Okay.
Look, before we get onto the actual fight, it's going to be really interesting to see how the crowd develops during this fight card, because it is Brazil against the world. I think every single fight on the card is a Brazilian versus someone else from somewhere else on the planet. And if we remember the Canadian event, that 297 that we just mentioned, wasn't it out of nine fighters on the card, the two female Canadian fighters won, but the seven male Canadian fighters lost. And it'll be really interesting to see the kind of the journey of the crowd and whether it's sort of like that London March 2022 card where it just all worked out brilliantly for the vast majority of the British fighters and the crowd is buzzing and they're going mental and it'll be such an incredible atmosphere. Or will it go the way of UFC 297 where the majority of the local fighters lose and the crowd sort of dips down a little bit? And it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out with the crowd in Brazil.
Yeah. Okay.
You clearly don't give a shit.
No.
I thought it was an interesting point.
It is. No, but do you know what I was thinking?
Moving on.
What I was thinking when you were saying that was because we've not really spoke about the fact that they've confirmed UFC Manchester, and obviously it's going to be a pay per view, so it's going to be a stupid o'clock card. And I'm wondering what that crowd's going to be like as the night goes on. Because
smashed, like absolutely drunk
exactly
as hell.
What I was thinking, because we've been to multiple UFC events, and what you get is people getting to the O2 at, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, in the bars, have a few pubs, then they're having a few pints, then they're in the venue and there's a few beers, and generally the prelims are relatively quiet, and then it starts to fill up. And I'm thinking, if people adopt that of heading up to Manchester for the weekend and start hitting them bars in the afternoon, and that card don't kick off for another 12 hours or whatever, I've just got a feeling Tom Aspinall might walk out to just like loads of people just being carried out the venue and asleep. I don't know. I mean, they've done it with Bisping and it sounded like it was great, but
I think it'll be mental. I think it'll be mental to walk out of that. Because you've got to realise, if we go, which I'm hoping we get to, but if we go, then we'll be finishing that card at like 5:30, 6 in the morning, then going to the post-fight press conference and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So we will be walking out of there at probably 7 or 8 a.m. After being awake for probably over 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then thinking, right, we've got to get ourselves home now.
Let's have a little four-hour drive.
I did enjoy the Instagram post of the Awababob Bob, because I normally try and steer clear of all the in-betweener stuff, if I'm honest, but Jesus, that was like that will be us.
That will be us, won't it? I'd be like, how was the journey home? Yeah, we didn't really talk.
just Blake was just
I hope that one's sponsored by Monster Energy. We'll grab as many cans as we can before we leave the venue. All right. Well, look, come on, let's talk about Usyk versus Pantoja. I mean, for Steve Usyk, this is his fourth fight in the UFC. Where's he ranked? 10th, maybe?
10th.
Yep. I mean, what an opportunity has been thrown his way.
Yep.
I mean, who was it he starched in his last fight in spectacular fashion?
Matt Schnell.
I mean, ridiculous. And again, he's just got that sort of understated look, Seg, hasn't he, where he's just got that Ryan Hall, look about him. And I think fans love that. There's two ways of looking at this fight, right? Are they giving someone like a massive underdog, a huge opportunity like that Steve Usyk has got here? That's how I like to see it. Do you also think they've also given Brazil an opportunity to see their boy and market their boy big time with an easier fight than perhaps someone that's, you know, ranked higher than Steve Usyk?
I don't think they're trying to give... Are you saying they're trying to give Pantoja an easy fight in front of his home crowd? Is that what you're saying?
Potentially.
No. I don't think it's that at all. I actually think Steve Usyk, given the fact that he's only had a few fights in the UFC, there's maybe not a huge amount of tape on him and stuff. It could be a bit of an anomaly in some ways. And that makes it maybe difficult for fighters rather than if they've had 10 UFC fights, there's so much tape on them, you know. But I think it's more just, this was the state of the division. I think we talked about this when the fight was maybe announced, was that, like, you know, Amir Abazi was injured and he maybe should have been getting a top shot, but he was injured and had to pull out of the Brandon Moreno fight? So then Brandon Royval stepped in. If Moreno had beat Royval, Moreno would be getting another crack at Pantoja. But Royval won, and Royval only got beat by Pantoja a few months prior. Then you've got Manel Capp. Can't make weight. He really struggles with the weight at the moment. So he's like out of the equation. Nicolau had only just got beat, and he got beat again last night. Bad KO loss to Perez. I'm sure there's other fighters that I'm missing. Kaikara France, I believe, has been injured recently. So really,
There's someone else, right?
That's what I'm getting onto. Yeah. I mean, the only two options really for a title fight at this time and place, you know, in Rio at this stage, the only viable options were Steve Usyk and Mohamed Makhachev. Now, if you're Mohamed Makhachev, I think you have a right to be a bit upset. He's got double the amount of UFC wins as Steve Ersig. I believe it's 6 UFC wins he's got. He's got a lot of finishes as well. But even with the finishes, you can maybe attest to this because you've spoken quite openly about the fact that you've not found Muhammad Makhachev exciting. And when you look at Steve Ersig, yes, he has 2 decision wins, but those decisions were exciting. One of them was on 8 days' notice against a top 10 ranked guy when he was coming from a regional scene organization. So you're like, well, that's phenomenal for him to have done that. And he did have some good moments within that fight that are sort of mini highlights, I guess, even though they weren't finishes. Mm. Then the next fight against Costa, again, some fun, exciting moments in that fight. He is someone that brings it. And then you've got to compare, was Makhachev's win, I haven't pulled this up, but was Makhachev's last win maybe Tim Elliott, where he maybe did get a finish but was getting beat for the first couple of rounds prior to that fight? Not prior to that fight, during that fight, before he got the finish, he was kind of getting beat a bit by Tim Elliott, I think, if I remember correctly. And Steve Ersig got a knockout win in the second round where it was a really fun fight.
Yeah, and a fantastic highlight. That's going to be on his highlight reel forever because it looked fantastic. I mean, I get why Makhachev, as soon as this fight was announced, I went straight over to have a little look at what he had to say, and rightfully so, he was pissed at it because, I mean, like I said, I've found his fights not the most exciting fights, and his finishes are not highlight reel, but he gets them done, you know, and whether they're bending his leg the wrong way and then coming out of that and still getting the win, you know, his numbers all match up. He should have been getting a shot, but I don't know. Maybe they've got something else in mind for Makhachev. I don't know if he's going to be fighting potentially Royval in Manchester. I don't know. I'd be interested.
That would make a lot of sense. Just to clarify, just because I did get that slightly wrong, there was the Tim Elliott fight where obviously I think he was getting beat up until he got the arm triangle in round 3. The last fight was Alex Perez, and I think it was a very lackluster fight.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, it's aged a bit better. We saw Perez last night or the other night knock out Mateus Nicolau, who's ranked 5th. I mean, so that puts Makhachev's decision win over Perez in a bit more of a positive perspective. Yep. But
planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When the UFC are going, who can we throw into a title shot? This guy has just had quite a boring decision win over Perez, and this guy has just knocked out Matt Schnell in a highlight reel kind of knockout walk-off KO. We're going to give it to this guy. And that is what the UFC is about. You can string together 6 wins. He's even got finishes. But 4 of his wins are finishes, Muhammad Makhachev in the UFC. Like, that is... It does feel harsh on Makhachev, to be honest. Mm. But this is the world we're living in. The UFC and Dana White and all that. If you're knocking people out, you are going to get preferential treatment because that's the style that the fans will gravitate towards. That's why, you know, Alex Pereira is, you know, the star that he is now. Like, he just knocks people out, and that's what people want to see. So, yeah, for sure, it's harsh on Makhachev, but it's equally not surprising because the UFC, this is the way they operate.
Interestingly, I don't really know enough about Usyk to kind of have an informed opinion on how I think this fight's going to go.
No, I think that's the thing. That's the thing about this that makes it sort of interesting. And I think, I think Pantoja sort of made this claim of like, when I was watching the Countdown episode, it said that Pantoja made the claim of like, well, there's no one for me to fight. I've beat all the big boys. So I'm going to have to do like what what Apollo Creed did with Rocky, and kind of just fight this lower ranked guy, give him a chance, give him an opportunity. And then Steve Ursegg's on the interview going, did he watch the film? Does he know that Apollo Creed loses? And I was like, good on you, Steve. I quite like that.
Oh, so, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. But look, Steve Ursegg is good. He talks about his own wrestling very highly. We've not seen a huge amount of it. We have seen bits of it. One thing we haven't seen from Steve Ursegg is how he is off his back. Mm. When he is scrambling, wrestling, he generally either ends up on top or gets it back to the feet. Now, he talks very highly of his wrestling, as I said. We've seen that his striking is good. We saw that in the Schnell fight. Even before the knockout, he was putting together some great punches, some good one-twos, catching Schnell a lot. I would like, if you're Pantoja, I think you're going, look, I had so much success with pinning Royval down, keeping him down and dominating the fight on the ground. That's what I would sort of expect to see from Pantoja again. Is like, okay, you reckon your wrestling's good. You've not really been tested at this level. Let me grapple with you, take you down and see how you do in the scrambles and see how you do if I can pin your back to the mat. What's your offensive jiu-jitsu like? What's your defensive wrestling like? All that kind of stuff. And I think that'll be the way to go for Pantoja, because we know Pantoja's a good grappler. We saw that, as I mentioned, in the Royval fight before. He is very, very good. So it'd be interesting to see that battle. I do think both guys come forward a lot, so I think we could get a really fun fight. And flyweight division has produced so many really good, fun fights for us over the last few years, excluding maybe the Royval Pantoja fight that we last had. That was a little bit more boring. But when you think about the kind of the tetralogy between Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, when you think about the interim title fight between Moreno and Kai Car France, when you think about Pantoja Moreno when Pantoja won the belt, like, all these fights have been really high caliber, high skilled fights. And, you know, it's a shame that the flyweight divisions and those lower weight classes, don't always get the love that they deserve, because we've heard Daniel Cormier and other fighters talk about the smaller you are in weight class, the more technical you are, kind of like the better fighter you actually are. You can get away with a little bit more at heavyweight because power makes up for so much of it. But when you're in those lower weight classes, skill level is the skill level is just higher than a lot of the higher weight classes. And so it's right that they're headlining this event, because we're going to see some really top level MMA.
Yeah.
But the fans just don't gravitate towards it in the same way that they do the higher weight classes. I don't know if there's just idiots in the pub going, yeah, I know he's like a killer, but I mean, he's only 5'4", mate. We'll smash him right up. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's what it is.
It's always been the case in combat sports, isn't it? You know, like, people do gravitate towards the bigger boys, and it's just, it is what it is. And it's a shame, because, you know, you do often get more exciting fights in them lower weight divisions. But, you know, do you want
to, an official?
Go on, sorry.
Have you got official prediction?
I haven't. I just don't think I have. I'd love to see the Rocky story.
I would quite like to see it, yeah.
I think it will be fantastic. Just, you know, full fighting, you know, not really kind of earn it, and you get the golden opportunity. And to do that in his back garden as well would be crazy.
Like, it would be so... He's been in the UFC less than a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he wins the belt in less than a year. That would be really impressive, wouldn't it? And again, to do it at that weight class where it's like, they are all killers. We've listed a bunch of fighters that are phenomenal fighters in that weight class. So, yeah, I think it'd be great to see. I mean, I'm also a huge Pantoja fan. I mean, how can you not love Pantoja after the fact that, you know, it came out that he was driving for Uber Eats only like a year or two ago before winning the belt and all that kind of stuff because he needed the money. And then there was the whole post-fight speech where he was talking about, like, my mum raised me, my dad wasn't around. Are you proud of me now, dad? Are you proud of me? Look at me now. Like, it makes me emotional almost just like saying those words. Like, so I've got a lot of love for Pantoja as well. And he was one of those people that we spoke about, that Dvalishvili was, that Ankalaev is now, that Bilal Muhammad still seems to be, that was in that room going, guys, I've beat loads of people. Can you please give me my title shot? He was in that room.
Yep.
And eventually he got it and he won it. And yeah, so
it's one of them fights I'm looking forward to watching because I don't care who wins. Like, I think, like, it's a win-win for me. Like you say, I'm a big fan of Pantoja, and I also want to see that Rocky moment because it's the stuff of dreams, isn't it? To see the underdog, you know, get his opportunity. So I don't care. It's one of the ones I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy. Okay. We see the return of Jose Aldo. Are we interested in this? Do you want to see the return of Aldo? Because we saw the very emotional sort of send-off when he got inducted. Was it? Did he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, didn't
Hall
he?
When
he was there, and it was a beautiful moment, and that man's got nothing to prove. I don't know. Does it? What is there for him to gain by fighting Jonathan Martinez? And I'm taking nothing away from Martinez. 6-fight win streak. You know, he's no fool.
I think. Well, look. Firstly, I'm totally fine with it because when he left the UFC, he was doing well. Like, he got beat by Merab. He was on a 3-fight win streak. Could have fought for the belt. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying he should have fought for the belt. Instead, they fed him to Merab in Salt Lake City or whatever with a high altitude and all that stuff. And we know Merab's a cardio machine. It was not the most exciting fight. I don't remember Jose taking a crazy amount of damage or anything like that. It was just he was pushed up against the fence a lot. He couldn't really do much.
And he was looking, arguably, at points, you know, the best in his career in that lead up to that fight. Yeah. Like, you know, it was a real second wind, wasn't it?
Yeah, and obviously we know now Merab should be getting a title shot next and he could win, so he could be the champ. So no shame in losing to Merab, especially given the circumstances of like Salt Lake City altitude, all that kind of stuff. So, I think I'm happy with it because it didn't seem like Jose was on the way out. And even since that fight with Merab, he's had boxing matches and he's won. Mm. So it's not like a Tony Ferguson situation or a BJ Penn or, you know, someone who's like retired and they were doing bad. Or even a Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler retired in such spectacular fashion with that win. But obviously his career was very kind of up and down for the last few years. And I think we were happy to see him go out with a win.
Yeah.
And we never need to see Robbie Lawler again. Mm. Like, done. You've smashed it. Well done. Thank you. Please stay healthy now. But with Jose, I think he could come back and do bits. I wouldn't be shocked if Jose beat Jonathan Martinez and then went, give me a top five guy. And let's say it was Davison Figueiredo that he fought. Or let's say it was, I'm trying to think who else is in like the kind of top five. He's already beat Chito Vera. That's the thing, he's beat Rafa. So he is better than some of the guys much higher ranked top above five. Jonathan Martinez anyway.
Chito, obviously. Cejudo's number five. Petr Yan's at three. And Corey
tell me you wouldn't want to see Jose Aldo versus Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
I'd watch that fight. Like, that'd be great. Two legends, all that stuff. Like, I think that'd be a great fight.
What about number 11 is Dominic Cruz? How do you feel about that fight?
I'd love to see that fight as well, just for the fun of it. But if Jose actually wants to make a run at the belt,
Only he will know what he wants to do. And if he gets a spectacular finish on Saturday, then you know, he, not only has he got his reputation already, he's now back and he's done something spectacular. He could easily fast-track, couldn't he? Because Jose 100%. Aldo topping a card against some of them names that we've just mentioned, big fights, right?
Sean O'Malley will want to fight Jose Aldo. I can't imagine Sean O'Malley wants to fight Merab. Mm. He will want to fight Jose Aldo. Now, Jose Aldo can't leapfrog everyone, but for sure, Jose could. If Jose went, right, I've beat Jonathan Martinez, give me Henry Cejudo, who you reckon's ranked fourth or something like that?
Fifth, Cejudo.
Fifth, give me Cejudo. And if he were to beat Cejudo, he could then have a title shot in his next fight. Because he's Jose, and we all love him, and the fans want to see him do well, and the UFC clearly love him. I mean, the other thing is, that's if he wants to make a run for the belt. The other thing that he could get is, my last MMA fight, my last UFC fight was a loss. Let me go back to Rio and have this. What an amazing moment it would be. Even if he never fights in the UFC again, if he goes out there and wins on Saturday night and the Rio crowd just erupts, what I can see Jose Aldo just in the middle of that octagon in floods of tears, and I can see me sat at home watching it in floods of tears, yeah. Just being like, Jose, you did it. I can just see it, and it'll be a beautiful moment, and yeah. I would love it. So, yeah, I think it could be a great moment for Jose. There's no shame, no problem with him coming back and kind of going back on his retirement.
Let's balance it out a little bit here and talk for a moment about Jonathan Martinez, because he's not lost since 2021 against former guest of the show and nicest guy in MMA, Davey Grant. He's gone on a tear since then, and you know, four decisions, but two of them wins have come by leg kicks. Now,
yes,
does this factor into what we're going to see on Saturday night? Because we know that Jose can be the king of the leg kicks, so we could have. Yep. A very interesting matchup. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I love the fact that you brought this up, because I had this as well, because I've got a little trivia question for you and everyone at home as well to play. And I don't know if you've already done your research on this, but as you just mentioned, Jonathan Martinez, two leg kick KO victories in the UFC. Mm. Only one other fighter has multiple leg kick KO victories in the UFC. Do you know who that guy is?
Is it Aldo?
It would be awesome if it was, but it's not, because I think some of his were maybe WEC, so maybe they don't count.
When did he fight? Did he stop Faber with leg kicks?
I think he might have done, but that was WEC, I think.
Right, okay.
So in the UFC, there's only... I wish it was Aldo, because what a story that would be going into the fight. But there's one other fighter that has multiple leg kick KO victories. Everyone at home, please shout your answers out. Maybe Stu can hear you.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have to wrap this up, Stu.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, it's another Brazilian.
Oh, I forgot his name. Was the champ, was absolutely fucking amazing, and then just went off the fucking rails.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Nope.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, God.
You're thinking of, who did TJ beat? Burrell, Helen Burrell.
Helen Burrell, yeah.
No, not him. He's fighting a British guy very, very soon. Stu Whiffin. Oh. God, disappointed, mate.
I've just thrown
Edson Barbosa.
Of course. Yeah, because that's right. He's losing to Lerone Murphy soon, isn't he?
Let's hope he's losing to Lerone.
Well, hopefully we'll get to chat to Lerone. There's conversations in place, isn't there, that we'll hopefully catch up with Lerone.
But look, back onto this fight. Like, Martinez, no joke. He is a really good fighter, as you said. Two leg kick KO victories. And he's got wins over good fighters.
Yeah.
Not stars, but like, obviously, Cub Swanson, we love. Cub Swanson isn't who he used to be, but he's still a good fighter.
Yeah.
Saeed Nurmagomedov. Now, a lot of people may not know Saeed Nurmagomedov if you've not been following the sport very, very closely. Saeed Nurmagomedov, I think, is incredibly underrated. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fantastic fighter. And that was a very, very close fight that he had with Jonathan Martinez. And then Adrian Yanez as well, who only a little while ago was seen as like he could be a real problem at 135, but he lost to Rob Font and then he's lost to Jonathan Martinez. I think those wins there, particularly Nurmagomedov and Yanez, show that Martinez is someone that really does belong in the top 10, maybe even slightly higher. So I wouldn't be surprised if he upsets the party here and you know, gets a win over Aldo, and it's not the fairy tale ending that we all wanted. I sort of, for Aldo's sake, I hope that's not the case, but I think that really could be a problem because Martinez is very, very good. Especially the fact that, you know, we've talked about the leg kicks and stuff, and Aldo's been boxing lately. Has he adopted a slightly more boxing stance? You would imagine with the wealth of Muay Thai and MMA that he's done, he will switch it back up very, very easily and quickly, be checking the kicks, no problem, and all that stuff. But if there's anything in him that the last three fights he's had have all been boxing fights, if that stance is just slightly different and that leg is there to be kicked...
that weight is on that lead leg.
Jonathan Martinez will find it. Imagine if Jonathan Martinez not only beats Jose Aldo in Rio, he did it via leg kick.
Oh, don't say that.
I know it'd be sad, but also, wow.
Can we edit all this bit out and just stop where you said, Jose will be crying in the middle of the octagon, you'll be crying at home. Let's just leave it there. Like a lovely little happy ending there. All right, well, look, shall we talk about... The Brazilian fighting in this match is Vitor Petrino, and he's fighting Anthony Lionheart Smith. We should point out that Petrino is on he's unbeaten.
11-0.
And he, in the UFC, 1, 2, 3. 4 wins in the UFC, 1 over former guest of the show with a devastating check hook beating Modestus Bukakis. Are we seeing Anthony Smith, Blake Harrison, going into that sort of situation now of being the gatekeeper?
We've done exactly the same thing here because... I've put down, is Anthony Smith the light heavyweight Neil Magny?
Yeah.
I think that maybe, because when you look at Anthony Smith's recent record, it's not amazing reading.
Yeah.
You know, since 2020, he's 4-5 in his last 9 fights. And the two most recent wins, both coming over Ryan Spann.
Yeah.
One in August of last year and one and the other one 2 years prior to that. So his last 2 wins have both been Ryan Spann, and his other wins have been Jimmy Crute and Devin Clark, who, you know, they're hardly guys that are like threatening the top 10 and really doing bits in the light heavyweight division. His losses, though...
Yeah, they're legit.
They're legit. They're like, you know, no shame in any of the losses. Like Glover Sierra, when he was on his way to the belt, I think it was. Alexander Rakic, who we saw... I don't know how Jiří Procházka was able to just shake off everything Rakic was putting on him at a UFC 300, but he did. But Rakic looked great. Mm. And a Rakic against anyone else in that fight probably would have won. Ankalaev, who... is arguably the best light heavyweight on the planet at the moment. He's just not getting the chance. But also, that loss was like a leg injury.
That's right.
And it wasn't necessarily even one that I remember being caused by Ankalaev. So that was an iffy one. Then Johnny Walker and Khalil Rountree. And Khalil Rountree is another one of these guys that I think is really underrated, really, really good fighter.
Yeah, there was no ifs and buts about that win. That was a devastating. No. That was devastating.
Was that the one where Khalil Rountree had his fist over his head as if he was going to hammer fist him, but didn't?
Uppercut, left hook, boom. It was ridiculous.
So, is this where Anthony Smith is? He's now that test for fighters, and we're going, if you beat Anthony Smith, you're probably top 10 material.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're not. And Petrino's at this stage now where he's getting that test.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got loads more to say about this fight. I don't know if you have, Blake.
No, I mean, look, Petrino, 11-0, as you mentioned, young, powerful, but also as one fights in a variety of ways. He's not just knocked out everyone, and when he comes up against a tough guy, and Anthony Smith is tough, he might find himself struggling. He's 1-2 by decision. He's 1-1 by submission. He's 1 by KO. So this guy is incredibly well-rounded. It does make me worry for Anthony Smith.
Okay. Do you want to talk about your boy Pereira?
I was going. I thought, what about Paul Craig? Is Paul Craig not up next on my...
In the running order I've got...
All right. Well, let's talk about Pereira then. I'll just scroll backwards. I've not got much to say about the Pereira fight because he really should be fighting a ranked guy. And Ivo Portiera is like fine, like whatever. But I just... I think this fight has come about. I think he was supposed to fight someone else, Pereira. I believe that there was a cancellation there. Maybe he was supposed to fight Muradov or someone like that.
Do you know what? Let me check, because I think you might be right there, my friend.
I think he was supposed to fight someone else. Again, not necessarily a ranked guy, but Pereira for UFC.
Muradov, yeah.
Yeah. So he's supposed to fight Muradov, who, again, as far as I'm aware, not ranked. But the reason this fight has come about is because I believe Pereira was fighting at UFC 299. So he only fought 2 months ago or whatever it was, but wanted a quick turnaround because he wanted to fight in Rio. It's going to be a struggle to find people to take fights on maybe shorter notice and to fight a hometown boy in his, you know, whatever, Pereira in Brazil. And Pereira is going to be someone that people are really probably avoiding because he looks phenomenal at the moment. He's on a long win streak, both at welterweight and at middleweight. His last loss was, I think, a DQ against Diego Sanchez, where it was a bit of a stupidity, not, you know, nothing more. So I think you want to avoid Pereira, really. He's a fan favourite because he's just a crazy man. And he's so good. I'd watch him fight a lamppost. I really would. I think he's absolutely phenomenal in what he does.
And where better to showcase that madness?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I'm sure he'll get the crowd absolutely buzzing for him. With a win, though, which I'm expecting him to win. I really, really want to see them throw him into the rankings. Let's stop mucking about now with Pereira. Let's really throw him in the deep end. Let's give him a top 10 guy. I think he's earned it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the UFC are punishing him a bit because he's had some weight issues when he was down at welterweight. But you've got to stop doing that to this guy. He's too exciting. The fans love him. And I really just want to see him tested now. I've had enough of him just smashing people up. I want to see him tested at a really high level and see if he can carry on this vein of form against the top 10 guys. But yeah, that's really all I've got to say. Pereira's always fun, but I want more now from his fights. Not from him, but from, you know, the opponent that he's up against.
Yeah. Okay. Paul Craig?
Paul Craig.
He's got new hair.
Has he got new hair?
He's got blonde hair.
Oh, mate. I haven't seen it. Has he gone full Charles Oliveira?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Try a picture of that up.
He's, blonde upstairs and then obviously a big brown beard as well. It looks lovely. Great. Oh, he's a handsome, man, isn't he?
Confusing his opponents with
exactly.
All that.
Exactly, yeah.
Work colour. What's going on? What's happening? He's going to have a blue face, blonde hair and a brown beard.
Exactly. And obviously coming back after the loss to Brendan Allen, and obviously we're seeing Paul now at middleweight. What have you got to say about this one, mate?
I mean, the problem is, I think, is that everyone, when you go in to fight Paul Craig, you know exactly what he wants to do, you know exactly what his weaknesses are, and you know exactly what his strength is. And that, to me, is always... It always just makes me a bit fearful for Paul Craig, because if he can't close the distance, wrap you up and pull you into his guard, he does struggle sometimes on the feet with people. I'm a little bit concerned for him. Don't get me wrong, Braulio hasn't been like blowing people away or anything like that from what I've been seeing, but he does look good. He does look powerful. Paul Craig dropping down to 185. He's going to be dehydrated. Will he be able to take the shots? I'm trying to remember the Brendan Allen fight now, but did he get clipped on the feet
and then
went down? And Allen, yeah. And so it makes me wonder, Paul Craig had great durability up at light heavyweight. People would be smashing him up, especially when they were like on the floor with him. He'd be taking shot after shot after shot, but still able to keep with it and wrap up a triangle or whatever, an armbar or whatever it was. Down at middleweight, has he lost some of that durability because he's dehydrating his body to that level and those shots will just hit harder, land harder and are harder to recover from? That's what concerns me about Paul Craig. I mean, Borrelio's on a 12-fight win streak. I believe before that as well, it was a no contest. So it's not like he lost even before that. He's only had one pro loss in his second ever fight. Yeah, I don't know. I do. I always worry when Paul Craig fights at the moment because he plays such a dangerous game where if he can't close that distance, he doesn't always look 100% comfortable on the feet. And that just concerns me for him. Obviously, I hope he does well. I hope he gets a win. Maybe he's, ironed out a few problems in his game where he can kind of deal with some of that a little bit better. But yeah, I do get concerned if that fight doesn't make it to the ground within the first round. I'm starting to go, this could be problems for Paul.
I know what you're saying. But let's also look at Paul Craig's record as well. Like, he's no joke. And, everybody's got their strengths. And his strengths are pretty much unrivaled when you get into that territory. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah, I'm excited to see. I think that loss to Brendan Allen would have really, really pissed him off. And I think we could see something decent. Every bit of training I've been watching on Paul's socials has been striking. So I'm really intrigued to see what we're going to do and what we're going to see. So yeah, best of luck to Paul. He's long-time supporter of this show, and I'm definitely one of the nicest guys that we've had on the show. He's just a top lad. Speaking of top lads, Tank's back.
Oh, I love it. This is a great fight. Johanson Brito has looked really, really good, and it's not an easy fight for Jack to go back after injury. How long has he been out? Like over a year now?
Let's have a little look.
It's only his second fight at featherweight as well. And it was, I think, over a year ago that he beat Amir Khani.
It was March last year when he fought McQuaid.
So he fought Amir Khani in his first ever featherweight fight, won that. And then now he's taking on Johanson Brito, who, again, no joke, Brito's on a 4-fight win streak, all finishes, good grappler, loves to throw big punches and sometimes really recklessly as well. Comes forward, he's very athletic, he starts really quick, like he's straight out the blocks and he is on you trying to throw bombs. Jack's coming back from that, was it metacarpals or something in his hand that he broke,
right,
and he injured?
That's right.
So it's as I say, it's not an easy return fight going into enemy territory and taking on a guy that he's not going to let you ease into the fight. Brito is going to be on you from the off. And I think Jack is going to have to really weather that storm and deal with that pressure of Brito and Brito maybe trying to get hold of him and slamming him to the ground and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that Jack is a really intelligent fighter and Richard Shaw's a great coach. And I think that between the two of them, I think they'll know exactly what Brito's going to do. And I think they'll know he'll have to be tough and gut this out for a little bit. But if he does and he gets through that first round, I can see Brito trying to throw everything at Jack to try and get an early finish in front of his home crowd. And his natural impulse is to go heavy quickly. I think there's definitely a world in which Jack is still there in round two and then round three and Brito is gassing out and blowing and then Jack can have his way with him. And you know what Jack's like? Jack's got good boxing, but he's also got great wrestling and he's got good jiu-jitsu. He's just a well-rounded fighter. He could end up catching Brito, taking him down, getting a submission in the third round, something like that. So I'm really hoping for Jack's case that's what happens.
I think
early he's got to be careful.
I think Jonathan's going to come out super hyped in front of the hometown.
Yeah,
and I think Jack's just going to let him blow himself out a little bit. And we know that Jack can grind as well. And I'm interested to see what he's going to do in them later rounds. Don't get me wrong, I would love to see Jack knock him out in the first round, but I don't necessarily think that's Jack's style. We've seen a lot of his stuff has come from decision. Really, really pleased to see that Jack Shaw's back fighting. I can't wait to see it this Saturday. Anything else you want to touch on this card?
No, not really. I mean, Elvis Brenner can be fun to watch. Joaquim Silva versus Draco Close, I mean, might be a fun fight. Who knows? The guy that I really like is the Frenchman, William Gomez, because ever since we watched him in Cage Warriors, I've really, really liked his style. I think he's a fun fighter. He had a UFC fight in Paris, I think, last year, which he won. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Gomez. I think he could be someone that has some fun fights going forward, and again, a fun style if he's not smothered by wrestling and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. But again, this isn't UFC 300. It's not 299. It's not 298. There's less to be excited about on this card. But as we've discussed, particularly for British MMA fans, we've got a couple of Brits on the card. There are some fun fights. There's a great story in the main event, this kind of like Rocky story that could happen. And the return of the King of Rio. So there's definitely stuff there to still be excited about. But when you've been spoiled in the manner that we have over the last few months, I think, you know, it doesn't feel quite as good. And then, you know, after this, I don't know what's on the undercard of 302. Obviously, we've got Poirier Islam in the main event, which I'd love to see Poirier do it, but I'm not overly excited about it. Strickland Costa could be a really fun fight. What are you annoyed at me saying about Poirier?
Why do you keep doing it?
It's true, though. I'd like to see it. It's true, though.
Do you know what? My smugometer is going to be off the fucking chart when they're putting that belt around Dustin's lovely tight abs. Right. Just before we wrap this, we should mention that the news broke yesterday that Conor McGregor now owns, which I'm interested in. Like,
is it part owned? It must be part owned,
right?
Yeah, it must be.
But obviously, Conor's not going to talk in halves, is he? He's said that he's now the owner of it. I mean,
I'm assuming it's an owner,
of Bare Knuckle FC, isn't it? Yeah.
BKFC.
I mean, I think that's quite an interesting move on both the other directors of BKFC and Conor. I think we're seeing them cards getting bigger and bigger with more and more recognisable faces from combat sports. And what a good thing for Conor to jump on. Like, it's very interesting. It's obviously he's making a lot of good moves in the business world, maybe not so much outside of that, but I think we've seen what he does when he gets his teeth into something, whether that be Forged Irish Stout or the proper 12. He doesn't stop talking about it, and I imagine if he now owns that organization, we're going to start seeing a lot more people start watching that. And I see him get out of some ridiculous car on Saturday and start talking about where they can buy the Mike Perry. And he fought Thiago Alves, didn't he?
Alves, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Which, from what I gather, was a first-round knockout win for Perry, who's now calling out Darren Till. Just quite an interesting... I didn't see it coming. It was just like, Conor now owns this. And it's like, wow. Mm.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, great move for the other directors and the people involved in BKFC. I think you're like, Conor McGregor will take, you know, he's bought obviously stakes in it. He'll take a percentage of everything you make now, but the amount of money Conor can help you generate just through social media and stuff like that is probably astronomical. I mean, if he is tweeting about, you know, a big press conference, like get your pay-per-views here, or if he is somehow helping them facilitate TV deals. I don't know how you can watch it in like the UK and in Ireland and places like that. I'm not sure. But if he can facilitate some sort of TV deal. Now, I think the fact that it's called Bare Knuckle will probably put a lot of people off. I can't imagine the BBC being like, hey, we've got Bare Knuckle Fight Championships covered up, or anything like that. Even Sky Sports, TNT Sports, will they maybe balk at the fact that it's like, oh, is this okay? Bare Knuckle? Is that what we want to be involved in? But I'm sure someone will. Maybe DAZN, if they're not. I don't know that they're already involved, but maybe DAZN would get involved. I don't know.
Make no mistake, when Conor McGregor's shouting about something, people will want to be involved in it because there's money to be made.
100%.
And
as you say, it might lure other fighters over.
We might
now get that.
Well, we're also staring down a barrel of seeing Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson on Netflix. You know, is there opportunities moving forwards with streaming platforms like that? Who knows? But I just thought I'd throw that in at the end because I just thought it was an interesting bit of news to chew the fat on. Anyway, you've got to go to Belgium, mate. So
I've got to go to Belgium.
Safe travels, my friend. And you'll be back for. Are you going to be back in the studio next week for post fight?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
We can discuss this. Hopefully, but we will see.
No.
But if not, I'll definitely be back for whatever we got after that. Because hopefully, we've got some nice interviews coming people's way as well.
Yes, mate. Yes, mate. All right. Well, look. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we will see you next weekend to break down all the action. Have a great week. Check out Ferocious Fightwear. And if you enjoyed the show, why not head over to Buy Me a Coffee? It's in the show notes, and you can get us a little tip to help pay for the production and this great big bloody studio I'm rattling around in. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.